In the afternoon, we walked round a circle and went to have a look at what was going on. There was a great shadowy wood of horns at the head of the valley and another round the northern wall. We did not dare to go in, but there was a rending, tearing noise of work going on inside. Ants and horns were digging great pits and trenches and making great pools and dams, gathering all the water of the Eisen and every other spring and stream that they could find. We left them to it. At dusk, Treebeard came back to the gate. He was humming and booming to himself and seemed pleased. He stood and stretched his great arms and legs and breathed deep. I asked him if he was tired.
Tired?
He said.
Tired? Well, no, not tired, but stiff. I need a good draught of Entwash. We have worked hard. We have done more stone cracking and earth gnawing today than we have done in many a long year before. But it is nearly finished. When night falls, do not linger near this gate or in the old tunnel. Water may come through, and it will be foul water for a while until all the filth of Saruman is washed away. Then Eisen can run clean again.
He began to pull down a bit more of the walls, in a leisurely sort of way, just to amuse himself. We were just wondering where it would be safe to lie and get some sleep when the most amazing thing of all happened. There was the sound of a rider coming swiftly up the road. Mary and I lay quiet, and Treebeard hid himself in the shadows under the arch. Suddenly a great horse came striding up, like a flash of silver. It was already dark, but I could see the rider's face clearly. It seemed to shine, and all his clothes were white. I just sat up, staring, with my mouth open. I tried to call out, and couldn't. There was no need. He halted just by us and looked down at us. Gandalf, I said at last, but my voice was only a whisper.
Now did he say, "Hello, Pippin, this is a pleasant surprise." "No, indeed," he said. "Get up, you tomfool of a took. Where in the name of wonder in all this ruin is Treebeard? I want him, quick."
Treebeard heard his voice and came out of the shadows at once, and there was a strange meeting. I was surprised, because neither of them seemed surprised at all. Gandalf obviously expected to find Treebeard here, and Treebeard might almost have been loitering about near the gates on purpose to meet him. Yet we had told the old Ent all about Moria, and then I remembered a queer look he gave us at the time. I can only suppose that he had seen Gandalf or had some news of him, but would not say anything in a hurry. "Don't be hasty," is his motto, but nobody, not even elves, will say much about Gandalf's movements when he is not there.
"Whom, Gandalf," said Treebeard. "I am glad you have come. Wood and water, stock and stone, I can master, but there is a wizard to manage here."
"Treebeard," said Gandalf, "I need your help. You have done much, but I need more. I have about 10,000 orcs to manage." And then those two went off and had a council together in some corner. It must have seemed very hasty to Treebeard, for Gandalf was in a tremendous hurry and was already talking at a great pace before they passed out of hearing. They were only away a matter of minutes, perhaps a quarter of an hour. Then Gandalf came back to us, and he seemed relieved, almost merry. He did say he was glad to see us then. "But Gandalf," I cried, "where have you been? And have you seen the others?" "Wherever I have been, I am back," he answered in the genuine Gandalf manner. "Yes, I have seen some of the others, but news must wait. This is a perilous night, and I must ride fast. But the dawn may be brighter, and if so, we shall meet again. Take care of yourselves, and keep away from Orthanc. Goodbye." Treebeard was very thoughtful after Gandalf had gone. He had evidently learned a lot in a short time, and was digesting it. He looked at us and said,
"Well,
I find you are not such hasty folk as I thought.
You said much less than you might, and not more than you should." "This is a bundle of news, and no mistake. Well, now Treebeard must get busy again."
Before he went, we got a little news out of him, and it did not cheer us up at all.
but for the moment we thought more about you three than about Frodo and Sam, or about poor Boromir. For we gathered that there was a great battle going on, or soon would be, and that you were in it, and might never come out of it."
"Horns will help," said Treebeard.
Then he went away, and we did not see him again until this morning.